My friends, good afternoon. Around the world, farmers are having trouble getting the supplies they need in order to produce food. Now, I've already shared in a previous report that tale from the German farmer who said, "I can't find fertilizer, and if I don't have it, like, yes, I'll go out of business, but moreover, we won't have wheat next year. We won't be able to eat bread next year." But it's not just in Germany. Today, I want to take a look also at Brazil, where they're in a crisis mode because of the lack of fertilizers, to the United States, to Canada, to India, where the government has set up a war room to monitor the real-time availability, allocations, and distribution of fertilizers. Distributions, I should say, which are happening under the strict watch of police personnel, of armed guards, to keep farmers from rioting and taking the fertilizer that they need for their crops. Because that's how advanced and severe this situation is that the government is literally on a day-to-day basis triaging which crops need the fertilizer more, which are more important. And that necessarily leaves some farmers out to dry. That's why they're rioting and trying to get their hand on fertilizer. It also means, as countries are seeing this happen, that many are taking steps to stop exporting their own food supplies. From Ukraine to Russia to Argentina, all have been instituting higher duties, making it more expensive to import from them, or just setting limits, setting quotas on how much they will even be willing to export. So the supplies are diminishing, and countries are starting to guard this precious supply of food. All of this, stepping back, was described by the food chain reaction game, which, just as Event 201 or the Rockefellers' lockstep document foresaw and laid out a script that we then experienced during the COVID-19 pandemic, so too does the food chain reaction game, financed by George Soros, including Cargill, one of the world's biggest food companies, and executed by John Podesta, standing on the stage there. Food chain reaction game foresaw a period in the future when, due to global warming and nationalists acting on behalf of their own country instead of sharing the food with other countries, there would be a period of drastically increasing food prices and famine and tremendous geopolitical instability resulting from that. We are now walking through that script. The food chain reaction game, simulation, war game, tabletop exercise, whatever you want to call it, ended in the institution of a global carbon tax, which is exactly what they want. It's exactly what the folks over at COP26, the climate conference, are talking about right now, as well as the takeover of the food supply. We've seen from Unilever talking about how we need to stop eating meat. Boris Johnson said the same thing. We're going to move to these bioengineered burgers. All of these things are launching into hyperdrive forward, implement now as quickly as possible, shove it down, quite literally shove it down your throat mode. And there's a reason for that. And that reason, as this gentleman said on a recent CNBC interview, I think he's right. If, due to the food prices rising and the energy crisis, Europeans are forced to choose between heating and eating, that will be the end of the green movement. No one at that point will be willing to further prostrate themselves before the cult of global warming. And so this is that moment. This is that time when all of these things, the fake food made from carbon monoxide, the genetically engineered crops that people really don't want, but governments are now launching anyway, and of course, the censorship right now, where journalists who are critical of these things or of the medical mandates, for that matter, are literally being jailed and having their bank accounts taken from them. Because, of course, as these crises materialize, people are going to look for answers. And so voices like this one will no longer be available to be heard. And in fact, there are already signs that many people, including especially farmers, are beginning to figure out that there is a war going on them, on food production, in the name of climate change and global warming. People are waking up, which is the other reason that they have to push all of this forward as quickly as possible. So that is what I want to talk about today. This is a huge subject, and I've got a lot of data because big claims require substantial evidence. So let's try and have that conversation in a coherent way. See if we can do it. I'm Christian, and this is the Ice Age Farmer broadcast. And I want to start in Brazil, where, as I said, they are in crisis mode, much like India. In Brazil, quote, the crises over the delivery of fertilizers and herbicides is getting worse by the minute. Farmers have been reporting a shortage of all types of herbicides, especially glyphosate, glufosinate, and pre-emergence. The lack of these products is now a matter of national alarm. Again, we've heard someone else say these attacks on our food supply are a matter of national security. Factories, quote, are shutting down around the world, including the U.S. and China. Sellers are still selling crop inputs, but there's no guarantee that the product will even be delivered. The situation is even more pronounced in India, where they get most of those phosphates from China, who just said, whoa, we're not going to export anymore. China just turned off the tap. This is completely warfare on food production. And so, as I mentioned, India set up a war room to monitor the movement and distribution of fertilizers. Quote, this level of minute planning and prioritization of fertilizer movement by the center is happening for the first time in response to an unprecedented shortage situation, both domestic but also worldwide. And I think it's important to note that these farmers are literally fighting with their lives to try and get the fertilizers to be able to keep their own farms running. The government has so far categorically denied that there's any shortage of fertilizer, even as they put police out there stationed with the fertilizers to keep farmers from taking it. So, quote, an acute shortage of diammonium phosphate, DAP, has seen desperate farmers throwing stones at the police, blocking the roads in protest, and even resorting to trying to steal, loot, the fertilizer from outlets south of Haryana. Though the government has so far denied the shortage, it's being distributed from police stations under the strict watch of police personnel. The shortage of DAP has already become a big issue in South Haryana, where it is known for its cultivation of mustard crops, with panic already spreading among the farmers. Panic. The shortage is the fallout out of less imports in the wake of a spurt in the global prices of DAP. With farmers preempting a shortage, videos of long lines of people wanting to buy phosphates have started to go viral on social media. The situation is going from bad to worse. Quote, whenever there are rumors of shortages, farmers start seeking fertilizers for next year too. We have reports of black markets emerging in the fertilizer areas. To keep check on this fertilizer smuggling, we only give it to farmers after checking their documents. But that actually makes the whole thing worse, because then there's a line to get your documents checked. So the farmers are now waiting in line for hours just to get a couple bags of fertilizer. 2,000 farmers were standing there waiting for DAP until 7 p.m., which means they're not working on their farms. You can see this is a disaster. That day, 1,000 policemen were deployed to ensure the smooth distribution of DAP bags in the district as it was distributed from police stations. But don't worry, there's no shortage, according to the government. I think this is pretty indicative of just how severe the situation is. Farmers are also telling the government, stop exporting our soybean meal. We need it to be able to feed our crops. And that's actually happened. Indian soy meal exports fell 47% month over month from September, because there's a shortage of product. There's no soybeans there, soy meal there to export. In the United States, we can read, farmers, and I've been hearing from a lot of farmers in previous times, they say, well, the USDA is lying, and that means that prices are bad, market manipulation, it's really economic warfare, it makes my job hard, it's making, you know, I don't have any profits left. But now the story has changed to fear. One of, there's not going to be any food next year. I can't get fertilizers. I can't get the pesticides. I can't get parts for my tractors or my combines. My farm has been shut down because I can't even get calls back from my suppliers. And I wish I could convey to you the sense of urgency in these farmers' voices and with their level of awareness of what this means in the months ahead. There will not be food there for to eat. I've already shared in a previous report those studies that say without artificial fertilizers, 50% of the world yields would just be gone, and half the world would perish overnight. That's what I mean when I say they are turning off the switch on the global food production system. And I've heard already from people, you know, spare me, saying, oh good, there's no glyphosates, Roundup is bad, screw Monsanto. Yeah, I get it. Everyone watching this understands that, right? We're already pretty clued in. We want good, clean, organic food. That's why our hands are so dirty from growing it for our families. But this is still how food is grown for the vast majority of people on Earth. And so when we see this tap being shut off, it's a conversation we need to have. Here from AgriPulse.com, talking about the situation in the U.S., quote, farmers are being hit from all sides with increased production costs. Two of the expenses responsible for the most volatility and uncertainty are fertilizers and pesticides. Whether it's the Chinese driving up the global cost of phosphorus, IDA's impact on glyphosate and nitrogen production, tariffs on ammonium nitrate from Russia, or sanctions on potash from Belarus, American farmers are bracing to sacrifice profits next year for the inputs they need for their crops. It also means food prices, already at decadal highs, will continue to skyrocket, and people will not be able to afford their food. Quote, everything is getting harder and harder to get, according to a rice and bean farmer in Louisiana. Never had an issue before, but now the cost of doing business is just getting worse and worse. What are we telling our clients for the future? Expect more volatility. There are essentially three kinds of synthetic fertilizers, nitrogens, phosphates, and potash, and the markets for all of them are in complete disarray. China accounts for 28% of global phosphate exports, but they banned exports of it. They turned off the tap. China, really, really a key player in this NWO agenda. They have stopped exporting. That's why India went into panic mode. That is creating global scarcity and driving up prices for American farmers, even though they don't buy from China. Here from Progressive Farmer is more about the phosphate shortage that was created by virtue of these new tariffs. 19% tariff on phosphates from Morocco. They're actually petitioning the U.S. Court of International Trade to get rid of that because it's ruining production of food. But again, it takes all of these things working in together to create this orchestrated collapse of food production. And here from AgWeb, glyphosate prices soar as much as 300%, and that's if you can even get it. And you hear from farmer after farmer, the input price scenario for 2022 is growing more complicated and scary by the day. Farmers are preparing. From nitrogen to glyphosate, prices are posting 100 to 300% increases right now. Farmers are also saying they can't even get retailers to give them prices on the products. They can't even get quotes until the products arrive, and that's questionable if that will even happen. Again, I hate glyphosate. I'd love to see that stuff eliminated, but not until everyone has an organic garden in their backyard, right? Not while it still means global famine. So that's just insane. Now, again, prices for food have already been rising ridiculously, right? Wheat now at a decadal high. Priciest wheat since 2012 threatens to worsen food inflation. It will. That's happening both because of bad harvests. We can read about it. Strained global supplies collide with robust demand and poor harvests, as well as new export quotas in Russia and in Ukraine. Right here, Ministry of Agrarian Policy of Ukraine agreed on limiting how much wheat they're going to export in the next year. This just happened last week. Everyone is figuring out what's going on and trying to hold on to whatever they can to feed their people. Argentina, the government slaps more controls on their corn exports. We don't have enough to share it. Quote, since April with meat, when they stopped exporting Argentine beef, and now with corn, according to the ag minister, we have upped the number of requirements and restrictions on our corn exports after we already reached our limit. In Canada, Canadian National Railways has actually ended their freight forwarding. They did this without any warning whatsoever, and that means that there are farmers and producers and grain co-ops who all planned on selling their grains or even sold it and are trying to ship it, but they can't. They stopped providing service to farmers. So if you read, the move will affect an unknown number of Western Canadian companies that usually ship raw or value-added ag commodities to overseas buyers. Existing containers that were already packed will be handled and loaded onto outbound ocean vessels, but new service will not be offered, and unfilled container orders already on the books have been canceled. Forget it. You're not exporting your grains. Quote, Canadian National Railroad has shut down their freight forwarding business with no notice to consumers. Nobody saw this coming. Anything that happened inside CN, which was the international freight forwarding side, it's done. It's over. As of today, I don't know where we're going to load containers. Because in fact, while there are other companies that could provide freight forwarding services, those companies are so far booked out that you would need to book them 3 months in advance. So Canada, grains, they're not moving. North American grains are sitting there. They're not getting to the rest of the world. This is going to create some extreme short-term pain, spoken from the perspective of the people that are trying to export their product, so their business continue. It will also create some extreme pain for the rest of the world, clearly, that depends on those imports. And I also wanted to mention this piece. Grain transportation by rail has been challenged by uncertain supply. Because a lot of people are blaming supply chain or this or that, and all of these things, certainly it's a confluence of things, but this article makes it very clear that the reason that Canadian National has had such a poor year, they've only been shipping 79 to 88% of their trains loaded with grains. And it's very clearly stated, this is because grain volumes have not been steady. The grain flow from country elevators has fluctuated with the unevenness of the grain supply because of the questionable harvest. And I just wanted to make sure to include this point. This is not strictly some supply chain disruption. This is a continuing story of changing climate conditions, the grand solar minimum affecting crop yields. And then that trickles down. And then the railroad doesn't know when their trains can go because they don't know when they can get the grains. And then they just shut down the shipping service altogether. Now there's no exports. It is a cascading series of failures, massive, massive failures at this point that the world is experiencing. And I would say it was unheard of, except we have heard it before. We did hear it before in the food chain reaction game script. There's only one country that has not stopped exporting, in fact, that increased our exports of food to record levels, most of it going to China, and that is, of course, the United States. We have been hollowed out. They have taken our soybeans, our corn, then they started purchasing the wheat when they reformulated their animal feed. And, you know, it's the same story here from the Wall Street Journal. You can see it's the same story for propane. Prepare for the sticker shock. Exports have already drained our domestic supply ahead of the heating season, and now prices are surging. Well, what happened? USA? Why did you export all your food right before all of these problems happened? Why did you export all your propane right before the biggest energy crisis in history? It's because the US is being driven into the ground. It's being smashed to bits. But it is a global problem, right? The US is the breadbasket of the world, exporting. It's one of the top exporters for most of these agricultural commodities. And so you'll see food prices rising around the world, if not shortages straight up. Here from the Bloomberg chief energy correspondent, European milling wheat is now at an all-time high price. And that is what led to this gentleman saying, at this point, we're going to have to be choosing between whether or not we have heat in our homes or we can eat food, put it in our bellies. That happens, it will be the end of the green movement. Again, that's why this is just the first step of an all-out unleashing of war. In fact, we heard Prince Charles declare war right yesterday. He said it's going to take a military-style operation. We're going to get rid of global warming top-down. Forget the governments. This is bigger than that. It's bigger than the GDPs. It's bigger than the leaders. This is a multi-trillion-dollar military-style operation to kill global warming. Again, we've heard this script before. That's how we can recognize it. That's how we know it's being done on purpose. And that's how we know what to expect from it. What kind of solutions they will propose in their Hegelian problem-reaction solution. when John Podesta stood on that podium and said, we're all going to run out of food unless we front-run this crisis and start putting on carbon taxes now. He did so in concert with Cargill, one of the biggest food companies in the world. And here from Cargill.com directly, food chain reaction crisis simulation ends with its global carbon tax. The game took the players between 2020 to 2030, this exactly the decade of action that the UN is talking about, throwing their sustainable development goals into high gear, one of which is food security. And the Pope just said that's the biggest problem we have to solve. This is why Greta is talking about her new goal is to shape food production. It's stunning. Again, with the food chain reaction game, projected that the decade brought two major food crises. Prices went up 400%, a raft of climate-related extreme weather events, geopolitical instabilities, famine, and refugee crises. And if you watch their original video, it included a pandemic. They've stripped that out of the verbiage here now.
Volatility.
They were working with Cargill, the WWF, the Center for American Progress, which is John Podesta's organization, and even the Center for Naval Analyses with the people who organized the food chain reaction game. Cargill, of course, one of the World Economic Forum's principal partners, the World Economic Forum, who has announced that we need to radically transform the way we grow and consume food. Working also in cahoots with the Eat Lancet Commission with their planetary health diet. And the Lancet Commission put out, like as I covered yesterday, this great transition forward, focusing principally on how to change how we grow food. It's staggering when you realize that these same actors were involved with the simulations and now with the engineering of the crisis and are also suggesting the carbon taxes and the permanent enslavement. Cargill also happens to be the company that has stopped paying farmers even after taking their grain deliveries. Cargill is apologizing to farmers, quote, for payment delays caused by an update to our computer systems. We recognize this has been an incredible disruption, and sorry, farmers, we can't get our computers to work. We're not going to pay you for the grains. We already took delivery from you. Probably a small thing in comparison to this larger situation, but still emblematic of how Cargill is attacking farmers, is hollowing out the world food supply. Here from Forbes is the conclusion of the food chain reaction game, written by a Cargill director himself. Climate change could destabilize the global food system, but there are some ways we can keep that from happening. If we, for example, invest in smart agricultural technology, in other words, the fake lab-grown meat and the bug burgers and the genetically modified crops, all this synthetic, nasty food, that, as I call it, the transhumanist food, food 2.0 for humans 2.0, divorcing people from nature and from God. But continuing from Forbes, quote, the most eye-catching results, however, were a deal to institute a worldwide carbon tax and then a new global governance structure for climate and food security issues. Again, just like the oversight, the global governance committees that are being set up right now and discussed at COP26. I'm telling you, we are walking through the script that they have put in place for this. They crafted it over the last few decades. They waited, they planned, and now, especially as the sun went into a grand solar minimum and disrupted the very stable growing seasons, they knew this. They had to do this now. They had to take over the food supply. And so we also see right now going into high gear, October 25th, anti-cancer bread, super tomatoes. These are the genetically modified foods that could transform our health. We just saw the World Economic Forum announce this nano dust that could be used for food safety. Well, that was something that I covered 6 months ago, talking about biobarcodes and these GMO spores that they would hide in food in order to trace it from the farm to the shelves to you, and then eventually through the sewers. It's complete monitoring of the food supply chain. We see China yesterday unveiling a new protein for livestock because they've already sucked up all the world supplies of agricultural commodities to try and feed their animals. So now we'll just synthesize a single cell organism from carbon monoxide and use that as protein to feed our animals. This is disgusting. This is, I saw Vandana Shiva say today, this is an assault on the creation, on the way that God works. To feed bioengineered, nasty, synthetic food to animals is an atrocity. And it also, of course, sets the stage for doing the same thing for humans in the years to come as we go through this great transition. We also saw Unilever take the stage at COP26 today and announce that we really need to get rid of livestock farming, right? This war on meat that we've heard from Bill Gates and the Impossible Foods CEO. It's the game over for meat. They don't even realize it yet. Yeah, that's the agenda. Unilever, of course, another strategic partner of the World Economic Forum, sitting there orchestrating this whole thing. Even Boris Johnson got on the action today saying that we need to start looking into eating bioengineered burgers. In fact, quote, humanity will soon abandon eating meat in favor of lab-grown, eco-friendly alternatives in a drastic bid to save the planet. There it is. That's our altruistic goal. We're going to save the world by forcing you to eat bugs. And of course, this is all going to feed back into the circular economy. As food becomes more scarce, they will say, we've already seen China with their Clean Your Plate initiative, saying we're going to dock your social credit score if you throw away food or if you eat too big a pizza and we catch you on social media. We're going to delete your post. That's already gone. They're censoring whatever that weird trend is where you show pictures of yourself eating giant bowls of food. They've started ending that. And now they're even doubling down just yesterday, November 1st, just yesterday. China is strengthening the push to reduce food waste. China will strengthen efforts to reduce the amount of grain lost at harvest and food wasted in kitchens across the country. Because it's you, it's your fault. You are the one that is causing the global warming and the food wastage and all of these problems. And if we only took better control of you, then none of us would have these problems. That's always, since the Club of Rome, that is the formula for this whole dialectic. China launched the major campaign against food waste last year, the Clean Your Plate initiative, and efforts have achieved tangible results so far, but more can be done. More can always be done. None of us are safe until we're all safe. So, the animal sector is being encouraged to use more corn and soy meal substitutes and reduce the protein levels. Ah, that's a very key phrase. Reduce the protein levels. Just fill people up with carbs, deprive them of the healthy fats and the proteins that make your brain work and build strong bodies. We don't want capable people. We don't want thinkers or fighters or doers or well-rounded humans at all. We just want slaves. Remember Bertrand Russell, it is a combination of diet, injections, and injunctions that will render humanity into this amorphous blob that we can do whatever we want with. Diet, injection, and injunctions. And boy, if we don't see all of those going into hyperdrive right now. And again, all of this is also going to be coupled because people are waking up. You got the farmers saying, holy crap, they're putting us out of business. This is a program. It's not just the carbon taxes that they put on us in Canada and other places. They're shutting us down. And they're creating fake meat to replace us. So people are waking up, not just farmers. Everyone is waking up faster than I think ever before in history. And that's why they're also doubling down on the censorship. You've seen Google saying we're going to get anyone that denies global warming and cow farts. We're going to just get rid of that off YouTube and off Google search results. Those opinions should no longer be available. We'll just deplatform them because we don't want people to find real answers when they start running out of food and wondering why. They can only have visibility into the programs we want them to see, which is, again, it's your fault, right? It's because you have a car. It's because you took that trip on an airplane. We're going to end that. We're going to get rid of your cars. We're going to get rid of air travel. We're going to stop this whole shipping industry. Remember, the absolute zero agenda that we looked into line by line, going down, those are the lines right there, going down, how we're going to get rid of heaters and fireplaces, and you'll be forced to install a heat pump at your own expense. In fact, I'll leave it there. Please, if you've not seen this, please do go check out my report, Absolute Slavery, The Zero Carbon Future Deconstructed, which uses their documents to demonstrate how they will literally enslave every aspect of our lives. That's kind of a big mouthful already, so I think I'm going to pause here for the day and then return in a future video to talk more about how this is all being implemented. Really emphasize the fact that farmers are freaking out. You know, I've heard concerned individuals before, but never panicked farmers like this, because they are resourceful and generally soft-spoken, hardworking people. But right now, I'm hearing from everyone I've talked to in the last few years, and they're all saying, this is a disaster. This is, I've never seen anything like this. So I just wanted to pass on what I'm hearing to you and share some of these reports, which are public, right? This is all public information that I've gone through here, so that we can all appreciate what's going on. I have no interest in doom and gloom. I'm not trying to make anyone afraid. I strictly want you to be aware of what's going on, because the solution is that we all get our hands dirty. We all go outside and we get our gardens working bigger and better than ever. We all incubate some eggs and raise some chickens in our backyard and have our own circular economies where our kitchen scraps create tomorrow's eggs. Chickens are amazing devices in that regard. It's really easy. In fact, the solutions to this, it's a very complicated, hard problem to solve, but the solutions are bottom up. It's really easy. We just go find our power and take it back. And that power, ladies and gentlemen, is in your garden. It's in growing your own food and not being a slave to these people. I'll leave it there, but there is much, much more to uncover in the days ahead. I hope you will stick around on this, the Ice Age Farmer broadcast, for more. You can find this report and those future reports on iceagefarmer.com. If you prefer, you can subscribe on bitshoot.com/iceagefarmer or odyssey.com/@iceagefarmer. And I'm always pumping a constant stream of news as I come across this stuff into Telegram at t.me/iceagefarmer. And I'd love to see you there. It's great to interact with people. I really enjoy the discourse there. So ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching. If you appreciate this broadcast, and if you value this information, you can help me keep it running. There's a few ways listed at iceagefarmer.com/support that would very much help me, and I very much appreciate that. So thank you. All right, folks. Be well.